It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. 1 week ago, Pope Leo XIV, born in Chicago, raised in the South Suburbs, he broke the internet.
I was overwhelmed by an emotion I can't even describe. I mean, it didn't seem real.
This news just I mean, we embrace the news.
It's going to change the way people think and feel, because we got a person that made it all the way to the top with the faith of God. That's from here.
You know, Leo's a man of the world, as is Chicago, is a home to so many people. On this street here, we've talked to Filipinos and Polish and African, and it's happening all right here, and that's what Chicago has always been.
So I heard the Pope might be a fan of the White Sox, but I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm going to go with that he's a Cubs fan. And because that just makes more sense to me.
Fact check, the Pope is a White Sox fan. But I digress. It was already clear there's going to be a lot of reactions across the world, no matter who was selected as the next Pope. But in a move few people saw coming, as I said, the Pope was born and raised here in the 21st state. And that also led to a frenzy online, with people posting memes of the new Pope with classic Chicago references. It's not often that such a local phenomenon happens here in Illinois, and so for the rest of the hour, we're going to explore our favorite Pope Leo memes and talk about how and why stuff like this happens. Joining us now to talk more about this is Sulafa Zidani, assistant professor of communications at Northwestern University. She studies internet and meme culture. Sulafa, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also with us, Justin Kaufman, reporter for Axios Chicago. Justin, welcome back to the 21st Show to you as well.
Brian, good to talk to you.
So in order to make our schedules work, we tape this on Thursday, but you can still always let us know what you thought by emailing talk@21stshow.org. We'd love to hear your favorite Pope Leo or Chicago meme. All right, Justin, let's just talk about what you saw online. What jumped out at you as Chicagoans have been processing that the Pope is from their backyard?
Yeah, when it launched, when the announcement came down, it was definitely a frenzy. And, what you saw right away on the internet, mostly on social media, was memes that obviously captured the spirit of the Dems and Does, the superfan Chicago, the deep dish pizza sort of stereotype that Chicago's moved well beyond. But when you have situations like this, when the Pope is a Chicago and they come rushing back, so it was a lot of da popes and all the kind of stereotypical Chicago stuff that the nation knows and Chicago kind of rolls its eyes at. But some really funny stuff, really funny ideas. One of my favorites was sort of adding da Pope to, or Chicago Pope to, the Dick Wolf franchise. So we've got Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and now Chicago Pope. So things like that, they're really fun.
Chicago Vatican. Yes, that's awesome. I like the Onion had the Chicago-style hot dog costume-wearing Pope. Talk about why people go to making these types of memes when historical events happen.
You know, people make memes for all kinds of reasons. I have had the pleasure of interviewing some meme makers for my research. And I love one quote by a meme maker who said, you know, memes are a great way for me to express myself. And I'm a person who loves expressing myself. I think people get excited about being represented. Sometimes they have some critique or opinion that they want to share in this playful and snappy way. But also a lot of it, and what I've been observing, especially with the Pope memes, is sharing a lot of joy and the relatability of, you know, the Pope being from Chicago to people's culture and experiences. I think there's a lot of excitement that was driving the reason for them to create these memes.
Did any jump out to you as particularly notable?
I can speak to the ones that I enjoyed the most, which were the pizza ones, like saying like that Italy is finally going to have good pizza, which I just found hilarious, or that the Pope is not going to have any problem finding his way around Italy because being from Chicago, he's seen a map of Italy on all the pizza boxes. So I found these particularly funny. What jumped out at me, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of the conversation here, but there were some AI generated memes, And I guess people write in a prompt of, I want to see a meme of the Pope, like maybe eating a Chicago hot dog or something like that. And AI will actually generate an image of Pope Francis because AI is using the existing information that's out there, and it apparently has not been yet updated that we have a new pope. And so those were ones where there was a slight mess up that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, well, you can't trust AI for anything these days yet. to editorialize a little, Justin, let me ask you. You mentioned some of the ones that stood out to you. What about like deep cuts, right? Not deep dish, but tavern style, you might say, of Chicago. Yeah, go ahead.
I was surprised at all the Malort jokes. There, the idea of doing baptisms with Malort or old style, those are always good. Yeah, the pizza stuff was excellent. My colleague Alex Fitzpatrick said, when does he start turning water into Malort? There was also like, I really enjoyed the ones that were like the Chicago Pope about to walk out to this, and it was videos from YouTube, things like that. In the case of the Bulls intro song, like those kind of things. There was this really sort of communal moment. Not to get too heady about it, but it was fun to see all these people try to outdo each other on what the perfect Chicago meme was, and real, and everything else. And like you mentioned, the AI stuff. I saw a ton of Pope Dicka, which telling AI to say, "Can you please put Mike Dicka in a Pope outfit," and sharing that with the world was something I did not have on my bingo card for 2025. But a tremendous time for about 24 hours where everybody was outdoing themselves and trying to create art in various ways on the internet.
Yeah, one of our producers remarked to me that he saw somewhere this may be the first pope who saved big money at Menards at some point in his life. Which is, I guess, more of a Midwestern cut, but all right, let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation. If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about Pope Leo XIV and how his selection, his election, I should say, kind of broke the internet. My guests for this are Justin Kaufman, reporter for Axios Chicago, and Sulafa Zidani, who is assistant professor of communications at Northwestern, who studies internet and meme culture. But what does that mean, broke the internet, Sulafa? I use that phrase a couple of times now. Do you think it fits here? And maybe some people might not be quite familiar with that sort of slang or expression.
Break the internet doesn't necessarily mean that anything was in fact broken. It refers to when we have some internet content like this meme that goes viral, meaning that it receives a lot of attention, it gets shared a lot, and it generates a lot of reactions and interest from a lot of people. And so in that sense, we can say that the Pope memes broke the internet, at least for that day when the Pope was announced and elected, because it was almost impossible to run away from those memes. I feel I'm on several social media platforms, and whether I was on Instagram or Twitter or wherever I was seeing those memes. So when we get kind of surrounded in different directions by similar content, that is kind of a sign that maybe something is happening that is quote unquote breaking the internet.
I feel like I'm embodying a public radio meme by trying to intellectualize this phenomenon here, but I'm gonna keep pushing on it and say, is there a threshold of popularity for something, that's worth being noted by a social scientist? How do you think about that from an academic perspective?
Well, as someone who studies these things, I honestly think that everything is worthy of our attention, whether it is, like you said, a certain phenomena that meets a threshold. We're talking about memes or videos that receive thousands to millions of shares and likes on different social media platforms. So those are definitely pieces of content that are breaking the internet and deserve our attention because a lot of people are paying attention to them. They're resonating with a lot of people. Maybe they are telling us something about the political or cultural moment that we're living in. Although I do think that phenomena that are receiving less attention sometimes are also really interesting because meme culture also circulates in a lot of subcultural spaces and small kind of niche community. When we are talking about deep cuts, things get also very specific that sometimes they're not circulating, you know, among thousands or millions of people. But as a social scientist, I do think that they are still worthy of our attention.
Justin, I'm trying to remember that Bible verse, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there are money opportunities with merch, I think is how it goes. You mentioned Malort. I saw the Ray Gun t-shirt company had Malort and Savior with a picture of the new Pope. What crossed your transom with regard to people trying to cash in on this phenomenon?
That is a deep cut Bible verse, and I appreciate the the draw. But I talked to a patent lawyer because D-A Pope became probably the number one saying that was happening at the time. And he noted that several Chicagoans raced to the trademark and patent office, the U.S. trademark patent office, to trademark Da Pope so they could sell t-shirts and keychains and everything around it. And he not to throw cold water on the Chicago entrepreneurs among us, but he said that because it's a living person, it's that they're not going to grant them the ability to trademark that. And frankly, the Vatican isn't going to go for that as well. But they said that that doesn't mean that people won't illegally come up with things or try to use the likeness of the Pope or, like you just said, like the Malort t-shirt and things like that. Because the Vatican is not an organization that's usually pretty strict when it comes to intellectual property. They haven't had to. And so there isn't really this precedent of them cracking down on t-shirt makers from Chicago who might want to put, you know, the Pope and the Pope's image and likeness on a t-shirt. I mean, obviously running the risk when you're trying to sell something online and try to be part of the marketplace that if you don't have the ultimate licensing to do so, you could be, you know, cease and desist or be charged to use it. But in this case, the patent lawyer I talked to said that that's something that doesn't usually happen with the Vatican, but maybe because of the popularity of this Pope could happen. So you could see the Vatican becoming a unit that actually goes out after internet entrepreneurs to try and get licensing fees. But you know what? Stranger things have happened.
I don't know. After this week and after learning the Pope grew up a mile from where I did, I'm not sure that many stranger things are happening. But that's a great point. And I'm glad that the trademark, I'll just say it, trolls did not win in that case. I actually saw a really interesting interview with an actor who was part of the original SNL Da Bears sketch. And he said that it was Robert Smigel, the SNL writer, who came up with that idea. So maybe he deserves the credit for some of what we've seen with this. We're coming to the end of our time together. Sulafa, I want to come back to you. And you mentioned AI earlier. Talk about the role that AI is increasingly having in shaping meme culture, because, you know, some of it's about finding that great movie reference to link out to something or a great quote. And now if people can just sort of generate what they want at will, how does that affect this subculture?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are at a very kind of interesting point when it comes to AI. On one hand, it affords people accessibility to materialize the visions that they might have in their heads on how to create a meme. Like you said, people might have an idea in their head, and if they kind of type in the right words into AI, it might generate an image for them. So it makes meme creation in a way much faster and more accessible. However, at the same time, these AI images are often, we can detect that they are made by AI, which I think, since meme culture also relies so much on humor and kind of originality, and there needs to be like an element of surprise or the unexpected in a joke for it to be good, I'm also not sure how popular these jokes are. But what really concerns me about AI is kind of what we talked about earlier about the potential for misinformation. So although I would not recommend memes as a source of information, people are willingly or not kind of gaining information from memes. And so if we are relying on AI to create images and it's creating images that either have the wrong pope or maybe it there have been plenty of scholars that talk about how AI generated images also stereotype people in a certain way, that would lead to kind of widespread misinformation or stereotyping that I feel like can be also really risky.
We're going to leave it there. Sulafa Zidani is a professor, studies internet and meme culture at Northwestern. Justin Kaufman is a reporter for Axios Chicago. Thank you both for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Dapo.
That's it for us today. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. We'll talk with you again on Monday.